Good evening and welcome to Local Motion. I'm Allie Lightfoot. In 1962, the Supreme Court issued a landmark ruling, striking down school-sponsored prayer. The legal basis for this prohibition was the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which requires that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The fight over the place of religion in public schools continues to this day, and classrooms are often the battlegrounds in the conflict. Some of the current cases U.S. courts are grappling with: prayers before sporting events, comparative religion studies, the Pledge of Allegiance, and Bibles in schools. Some feel Christians and other religious groups are trying to impose their religion and values on their children in school. Other Americans are troubled by what they see as an effort on the part of the federal courts to exclude God and religion from public schools. Such an effort, they believe, infringes upon the First Amendment right to the free exercise of religion. Today on Local Motion, we'll be looking at the issue of Bibles in public schools. In May of 2014, Delta County School Board member Kathy Svensson advocated for allowing the Bible to be used as literature, history, and moral instruction in the Delta County schools. She felt the religious information included in the district's social studies books needed to include more content about the Bible. The district curriculum committee reviewed the book in question and found it to be of historical relevance. It was decided not to change or add to curriculum based on Svensson's suggestion. However, a policy adopted by the Delta County School Board on distribution of non-curricular materials does not prohibit Bibles from being made available by outside organizations in the schools. Gideon's International is an association of Christians dedicated to telling people about Jesus by providing Bibles and New Testaments. While they are known worldwide for distributing Bibles to hotels, they also distribute Bibles to schools, colleges, prisons, hospitals, and medical offices. To date, they've placed 1.9 billion scriptures around the world. This December, and in many years past, Gideon Bibles have been made available to students at Delta County schools. I received a call from some concerned parents that Bibles were being distributed at Paonia High School and Hotchkiss K-8. District representatives confirmed that Bibles were given to any student who wanted one at all Delta County high schools and middle schools last year. Today we'll hear from Kirk Clay, Assistant Superintendent for Delta County School District, who will explain why the district policy allows for Bible distribution on school grounds. And we'll hear from Andrew Seidel, an attorney working for the Freedom From Religion Foundation, an organization that seeks to promote the constitutional principle of separation of church and state. But before we begin, I would like to let you know, as a disclaimer, that both of my children attend public schools in the Delta County School District. Here's the interview with Kirk Clay. Today I'm talking to Kirk Clay, Assistant Superintendent for the Delta County School District. We're talking about the school's policy on distribution of non-curricular materials and why religious materials are approved to be distributed on school grounds. So first of all, Kirk, can you just talk a little bit about this policy and how this policy is written in the school district?
Well, the policies that we use really come from Colorado CASB, the school boards. We call it CASB. It's the Colorado School Board Organization. And they have recommendations for policy, and we follow their guidelines. And then we review them on a regular basis. This particular policy is called distribution/posting of non-curricular materials. And we follow those policies pretty closely once they're put into place within the school district. The school board adopts policy. The school board's responsibility is to adopt all policies and make sure that they fit Delta County School District. And so that's one of the major roles of a school board. The second major role of a school board is to obviously hire the superintendent. But policies and hiring the superintendent are their two major roles.
In the Delta County School District's policy, the distribution of printed non-curricular materials must be made at places within the school or on the school grounds as designated by the principal. They can't be happening in a classroom or any part of the building that's being occupied by a regularly scheduled class.
Correct.
And the policy states that distribution may be made either 1/2 hour before school or during regularly scheduled lunch periods or 15 minutes after the close of school. So the report we heard is that these materials were being distributed during the regular school day. They were concerned that the principal of the school was pointing the kids toward the table where they could pick up a copy of a Bible. Can you tell me anything about that?
I was not there at the school. I don't know that I could speak on that specifically, but we do follow those policies. My understanding was that that was done around the lunch period. I don't think it was done all day.
And then another part of this policy for the Delta County School District is that no student may in any way be compelled or coerced to accept any materials being distributed by a person that's distributing these materials or by any school official. I'm not quite sure why then the principal of the school was pointing the students towards the table and telling them that there were Bibles there for them. Could maybe be confused by a student that they were supposed to go pick up a Bible.
Well, you had asked me about this earlier in the day, and so I specifically did ask the principal what was said. And he said, just like we always do with these kind of situations, with whether it's in this case, you're correct, it did happen to be the Gideon Bibles. But he said, we let the kids know. We tell them that there's no obligation, but they're there. If you want to check out the booth or you want to check out the table, you're welcome to see it. And that's how it's presented to the kids. And the kids, there's no obligation for our kids to go over there unless they want to.
Mm-hmm. And he would do the same for any other materials being distributed.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, in Florida, a similar case came up where they were distributing Bibles at a school in Orange County, Florida. And the Freedom from Religion Foundation wanted to also distribute materials about freedom of religion. And they were denied, so they ended up suing the school district. Then another organization called the Satanic Temple asked if they could also distribute literature in the school. And apparently, even though it was the Satanic Temple, fell within the guidelines of what could be distributed. So that could happen in this school too, right? Anyone who wanted to distribute any sort of theological or religious or...
As you've said earlier, we do relate to our policies, and we do have a policy on that. And the policy states that it must be filed in writing, and it has to go through the superintendent. It also has to go through that, or the designee of the superintendent, could be the schools. I know in this case it did go through the superintendent, but it has to be a minimum of 48 hours. So I guess if you're asking me if can anybody just show up on the front door and do that, the answer is no. They have to go through the approval process. Once it is approved, then that process would be the same for everyone. That is correct.
Mm-hmm. So, but it could be religious or philosophical, theological materials.
Potentially, yeah. And there are 6 specific things that you cannot and that are unacceptable material within that policy.
Right. And so some of those things, I'll just let our listeners know about them. So if the literature preaches any kind of hate, attacks ethnic, religious, racial, or any other identified protected group. So some people might say that the Bible does that.
Sure. And with our policy that you just read, if there's a grievance, for lack of a better way of putting it, or disapproval, then they can actually put that in place by asking those same questions that you're asking with that.
Mm-hmm. It's also, you can't distribute material that promotes hostility, disorder, or violence. You couldn't distribute material designated for commercial purposes or advertising a product. you couldn't distribute material that's libelous, invades the rights of others, or inhibits the functioning of the school.
Correct.
So, or material that promotes, favors, or opposes any sort of candidacy. So those are the guidelines for this school district. Not all of the school districts in Colorado have the same policy. I looked up a few, and I found in the Boulder Valley School District and a few different districts in on the Front Range that they will not distribute material that proselytizes a particular religious belief. Do you think that that might make sense in a public school where, you know, there might be concerns about separation of church and state?
Yeah, I think that that's an ongoing issue that we deal with all the time. And I think that this policy is written in a way that we aren't promoting one or going against another. This policy, if you read the CASB policy, is very, very similar to what the CASB policy, which is recommended by the state. Our policy is almost identical.
Mm-hmm. The CASB policy?
Okay. CASB is the Colorado Association of School Boards, and basically they are they're the state organization that help guide our school boards and our school districts, and they have people who set this very thing up for us and help us with those. So those policies aren't just pulled out of thin air and said this is going to be our policy for Delta County. We go off of those guidance, and we also go off of our legal counsel's guidance, and they're at those policy meetings as well.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't assume that anyone was pulling it out of thin air, but I could see how you would put in a policy about this kind of thing that would just basically be there to avoid trouble, for lack of a better word.
And I think it depends on how you look at those things. I mean, I think that trouble can also lead to opportunity for kids. I mean, both sides of the puzzle, and I'm not speaking specifically of the Bibles, but once you put that in there with everything, that means it's really hard to expose kids to different things that are out there, and not just religious pieces. And so that's where this policy is not based off of necessarily just religion. It's based off of ethnicity and race and all those different things that you just stated.
For people who do want to comment on it or have an issue with it, who would they contact?
They can contact me here at the school district. That'd be fine. We do have a feedback link right now on our website, and they're always welcome to put feedback there on the website as well. We always have a public comment section to our school board meetings, so public is welcome at school board meetings as well.
Great. Okay, well, thanks so much. And I've been speaking with Kurt Clay, who is the assistant superintendent and public relations person for the Delta County School District. You're tuned into Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Today, we're exploring the issue of Bible distribution in our public schools. Next, we'll hear from attorney Andrew Seidel from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. I was wondering if you could start by telling our listeners about the Freedom From Religion Foundation. What is the purpose of this organization?
Sure. FFRF is a national nonprofit with nearly 22,000 members nationwide, and we exist to protect the constitutional separation between state and church and to advocate to the public for what it is to be a non-believer in this country.
In the schools here, they've been distributing Bibles on school grounds. And if you look at their policy, it seems as if it's legal what they're doing. What kinds of distribution in this state is legal, and what kind of distribution would be illegal? When does it become unconstitutional?
Sure. So the basic rule is that Bible distributions in the public schools are unconstitutional. Every court that has looked into the issue has declared as such. The only caveat comes when a school decides to open what it calls a public forum. And in that case, the school says, we are allowing anybody to come in and distribute anything to other people's children. And this is obviously a very dangerous proposition, and it can often backfire in the school's face, and has in several places, including, for instance, Orange County, Florida, where FFRF sought to distribute atheist literature, and the Satanic Temple also sought to distribute coloring books to children because the school was allowing Bibles to be distributed. When it opens that forum means that people are allowed to exercise their First Amendment rights there. So if the school is doing that, it can't keep anyone out. It can't just allow Christians to come distribute the Bible. It has to allow Muslims to come distribute the Quran and allow atheists to come distribute the God delusion. There is no legitimate way for them to separate messages they like from messages they don't like. So the best policy, of course, is to prevent the schools from becoming a religious battleground in the first place.
What do you think the harm is in distributing Bibles? I've noticed in this situation there are some parents who are very upset by it. But
of course,
you don't see the students being that concerned about it.
Well, there's several major problems with it. First of all, it is a complete abrogation of the trust that families place in the public school districts. They send their children there to be given an education in math and science and English, not in religion. And every court has held that religion is an intensely private matter, better left to the private sphere. And then it also steals the parents' ability to educate the children in the manner that they see fit. So, you know, a Jewish parent may not want their children reading the New Testament, understandably so. But they're not given that opportunity to educate their child because the school is taking it away. And finally, and the biggest problem, is that religion is divisive. It is not a unifying force. This is the reason that the founders chose to separate state and church. And when you put it in the public schools and allow it to come into the public schools, it divides the student body into us and them. And at FFRF, we see this all the time. And that inevitably leads to serious bullying, and in many cases, violent bullying. So again, the best policy is just to keep religion in the private sphere and to not let these Bibles be distributed in the first place.
Do you think that kids should be able to get information about religion in school? Should there be education around it in public schools?
Well, I mean, so Isaac Asimov said that properly read, the Bible is the greatest force for atheism ever conceived. And I think he's absolutely right. I don't think you could read the Bible cover to cover and come away from that a staunch believer in Judaism or Christianity. So I think everybody should read it. It's just a question of, should the state be pushing one particular religion onto students or not? I mean, this is a captive audience of school children, and we don't want groups like the Gideons to use the machinery of the state to promote their personal religion. So if it can be done in an objective, fair manner, we're all for it. But, you know, we have the experience and can tell you that that rarely, rarely happens. So even if the school has a policy where they've created an open forum that allows for these distributions of any and all material, the school can't be promoting that material. So they can't say, everybody, it's time to come pick up your Bible now. The best they can do is leave those Bibles on a table in the hallway, and students can choose to pick them up or not. You know, I just recently dealt with a case in Georgia where the teacher actually divided his fifth grade class, up into kids who wanted to accept the Bible and kids who didn't. And in Georgia, there was only one young lady who didn't want to take the Bible, and she was forced to defend herself to the rest of the class, saying, I believe in God, just not in the way that you do. Completely ostracized, completely alienated, made fun of. So again, we see that religion is this divisive force when it's injected into the public schools. By promoting that Bible, he's promoting the message within the Bible.
Even if he just says, hey, there's Bibles over there if you're interested?
Yeah, I mean, the idea should be no promotion whatsoever. And if they are going to promote it, then he needs to do the same thing to the atheist literature that's going to come into the school and to the Quran that's going to come into the school. And it's going to happen. It's not a question of if, it's just a question of when that will happen. If schools continue to have open forums and they continue to allow Bibles to be distributed, other groups, including atheists, the Satanic Temple, Muslims, are going to come in and distribute their own literature.
So what other kinds of calls would Freedom from Religion get regarding separation of church and state violations, and especially in schools?
Well, we're going to get more than 3,500 complaints about state church issues this year, and about half of those are going to be involving public schools. We often see things in the public schools where the law is very, very clearly against it. Prayer at graduation ceremonies. We get reports constantly of teachers praying with their students and telling their students that they should pray. Teaching of creationism in the public schools. And it runs the gambit, but it's almost always involving one individual using the machinery of the state to promote their personal religion. And that is what the problem is. It's not about people being offended, and it's not about the individuals being hurt. It's about the Constitution being violated. It's about the government endorsing one particular religious belief, and that's what can't happen.
If you suspect that your child is being taught maybe some sort of teacher or administrator's religious beliefs, for instance, your child comes home and says, you know, Mommy, my teacher told me that, you know, Jesus loves me or something like that. What would you do? What's sort of the process that you would want to go
through? Typically we encourage people to go online we have a state church complaint report that can be filled out under the legal tab on our website, ffrf.org, and then we do an investigation. We do a lot of back and forth with the parent. And then our typical response is to write a letter to the school district. You know, we don't want to take these things to lawsuits. Oftentimes, for instance, the superintendent may have no idea that they have this rogue teacher out there or rogue principal allowing the Gideons to come in and distribute Bibles or allowing the teacher to pray with their students. So our goal is to solve these issues through education, and we're often very successful at doing that. But sometimes we get a school district or a government entity that doesn't agree with us. Even though the law is very, very clear, they want to continue promoting religion in their official capacities, in which case we do take it to a lawsuit, but we try to avoid that. And we've had several lawsuits in Denver. We have a chapter in Denver and in Colorado Springs that are very active that have resulted in several lawsuits over the years.
And finally, Andrew Seidel, I just wanted to ask you why you work for this organization and why this is important to you personally.
For me personally, it's for two reasons. One, I truly believe in the Constitution and the First Amendment, and I think that as a lawyer, there is few callings higher than protecting that Constitution and that First Amendment. And the second thing is helping people like that little girl in Georgia who was completely ostracized because her teacher felt the need to promote his personal religion in the public school classroom. I'm working to defend both the Constitution and children who would otherwise be ostracized and bullied. So it's a really wonderful job to have.
Do parents have power in this situation, let's say even in this school district where the policy is that they have this forum to change that policy? Do you feel that they do?
Absolutely. That's a great question. There is no requirement that a school district open a public forum. It is absolutely not a requirement anywhere in the law. So parents can get that changed. It's very easy. Go to the school board and speak out. Say that you don't want your school to be an open forum for people to pray on your children. You know, the school should be dedicated to teaching students, not becoming a place where people can push their messages onto students. So simply by speaking up, parents can often get these rules changed.
And I've been speaking with Andrew Seidel, who's an attorney from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure being on.
For more information about the Freedom From Religion Foundation, visit ffrf.org. Thank you for listening to Local Motion. Tune in next Tuesday at 6 o'clock for another Local Motion exploring education issues. We'll hear from U.S. Secretary of Education Arne Duncan, as well as community members and school district representatives about charter schools, standardized testing, and budget issues. Stay tuned for As the Worm Turns, coming up next.